my two hashmatos, two points that were related to what we discussed last time. One point that was left out of Schar Shabbos, it's not really nogeh with what we're talking about today, but it's a very nogeh lomaisa, which is, we mentioned that Schar Shabbos, to pay someone just for doing work on Shabbos, is also midrabbanan gzeir shem yichtov. So there's a machlokas achronim, which the Shmir Shabbos Kolchasa quotes. In the newer version, he's mekel. My understanding was that in the old Maduras he was Machmir.
Really?
Which is that whether this applies to hiring a non-Jew. Meaning, is the Iser on the Maskir or on the Niskar? Presumably it's only on the Niskar because he's the one who's going to write down how much he's owed. Maskir would rather forget about it, probably. But, this is a machlokas though, even in modern day poskim, my canvassing of the yeshiva, where Willig was Mekel on this show and Rishelta was Machmir. Which has a ton of nafkaminas, like let's say, which I was discussing with them, someone who offers to shovel my walk on Shabbos, which maybe someone will slip. So I want to pay the Nachri who's going to come and shovel my walk, even though he's only working on Shabbos. So that would be, regardless of the Mukta Shaila, that would be a Schir Shabbos. So a person hires a babysitter just for Shabbos. Or they could come up all the time, a maid just for Shabbos. These could all be Schir Shabbos issues, but I think the minig of most poskim is to be Mekel on that child.
That kula sort of seems to come in the other direction, though, no?
That what?
Meaning that if you want to
work for
a non-Jewish Shabbos, then that would be, if you're making clear, you're
Most Shabbos. People wouldn't do that. Unless they're doing some sort of mitzvah. Are you saying, let's say, I'm asked to babysit for a non-Jewish child on Shabbos?
Right, or you know, someone gets a job with a non-Jewish caterer, meaning, you know, you have a simcha where
serving
the caterer happens to be not non-Jewish, he has so much
Yeah, those cases aren't as common as this case. Right. Another hashmata from last time, or a continuation of what we were discussing at the end, was ribu b'shiurim on havara. So a very common case which happens is that a woman, let's say, goes into labor on Shabbos, and people want to know if they could go with the woman in the car, in the hatzalah ambulance, to the hospital. So the Mishnah says in Masech HaShabbos that a yoled is mechal on oleas HaShabbos. You could be mechal Shabbos for a woman who's going into labor. So Gemara says, Pshita, of course, that's obvious. So Gemara says, no, lasuye, my lasuye, that you could light for her a candle. If it's dark in the room, you could light a candle in order to take care of her. So again, the Gemara says, Pshita, of course, it's obvious. So Gemara says, no, she's a Suma. She herself is blind. So still, the Mishnah Berurah says, okay, but how are they going to take care of her if it's dark? So he says, must be that they can take care of her even though it's dark. But she wants a light to make herself feel better. She doesn't even need the light. She wants to know that they have a light while they're working on her. Sigmar's implication is that Mishum Yesuve Daita, in order to make a chola feel better, we can even violate a doraisa of lighting a candle. Because we're dealing with a chola sheyesh bo sakana. So does that mean a guy wants to listen to the radio, you know, to make himself feel better? That's Reb Shlomo Zalman says we have to draw the line somewhere, but this is assuming, also Reb Shlomo Zalman adds, and this is quoted in the Shulchan Shlomo, a newer collection of Reb Shlomo Zalman's Psakim, that there's only if there will be trauma to the patient, meaning we're afraid that this will tip the scales one way or the other for the Chol HaShiyesh Bo Sakana. But not any old request that they have. So Ramosha has a tshuva about escorting a pregnant woman to the hospital. So he says, really, we should explain to her that it's not going to do her any good to have her husband there, you know, giving her words of encouragement. But he says, we're not always so much liach in that endeavor. So he says, we don't have to start getting, this is a shayla pikuach nefesh. Maybe she'll have tirof hadas if she's all by herself in the ambulance, and that will affect her situation negatively. So Moshe was mekel that the husband could go with the wife in the ambulance on Shabbos. Yeah.
Which halacha are we
saying? Oh. So Moshe also says, he says he doesn't know really what Isser is involved here. What Isser is there in the husband going into the car? They're driving the car anyway. They're not adding anything for him. They were driving there anyway. So he's not sure if there's any Isser at all. Then he says, this is a chumra, this is just important to know vis-a-vis Ramosha, this psak is quoted off, and Ramosha says that it's only, he thinks, if it's ad chum Shabbos. If it's yosem, it's chum Shabbos, let's say the hospital is across the bridge. Says Yosef Mitrum Shabbos. So then Ramosha thinks that one shouldn't accompany the wife to the hospital. But assuming it's all within the Tchum Shabbos, he doesn't think really you're adding any Yisurim by going in the ambulance with her, so then he was willing to be Mekel. Others disagree for other reasons. This is important. The Ma'aseh, the Chazanish, is quoted in the Igros Chazanish that he was Mekel on the Shiloh. No mention of Tchum Shabbos, not Tchum Shabbos. He was Mekel carte blanche. And I think that could be for other reasons. And this is something that Dr. Abraham says in the Nishmas Avram. That an advocate is extremely important for a chola. You know, the woman sitting in the hospital bed hooked up to tons of machines and she needs something. We could even be life-threatening and she can't get to the button to the nurse, or the chola is, you know, hanging out in the hallway and they forgot about her. So you always need an advocate with the patient on Shabbos. So Dr. Abraham says, Ad kedei kach, you could even take your own car to the hospital just to be the advocate. He thinks that that is something that's extremely important. So I think that that's what the Chazanish was probably going on. I think halacha l'maaseh, that's a great reason. Then you don't have to bring the whole family. You know, the husband goes, the mother goes, whoever is the best advocate. You don't necessarily need the, you know, every cousin to go. However, on that point that Ramosha says, which is not getting to us, Befrat, Ramosha said that he doesn't know what issa there is in going in the car, so the Har Tzvi disagrees with him in a Truvin Yoredeya, that every person, in the car adds to the weight of the car. And that's going to add to how many times you have to press down on the gas pedal, or how long you have to leave your foot on the gas pedal. So he says it's marba behavara. So he thinks it should be dependent on his shayla of ribu b'shiyurim behavara. I think it's mutter because it's pikuach nefesh mamish. It's an advocate. But just what Ramosha said in his formulation of his argument that he doesn't think there's any issur involved at all, the Har Tzvi says he does think there is an issue involved. And that's ribu b'shiyurim of havara. Rabbi Neuwirth in the Shmir Shabbos has two arguments which are both strange. His first argument is that this is only by, he thinks that there's only a problem if it's a light car. If it's a heavy, big ambulance, then he thinks Ramosha is right. Nothing gets added by one person. Assuming they're a normal sized person. But if it's a light car, then it's significant weight is added. So on that point, Rabbi Bleich and his contemporary halachic problems, in discussion of this point, this halacha, the shayla, disagrees with Rabbi Neuwirth, and he said he spoke to Professor Wachtel, who used to be in the Belfer Institute of Technology, or mathematics that used to exist, who said that it's impossible to determine whether or not one person makes you step on the gas pedal more or less. Meaning what he was basically saying is that the weight of the car, or the weight in general of how many passengers you have here, it's impossible to say, yes, it will increase, or no, it won't increase. The amount of times that you have to step on the gas pedal, he says it depends how fast the driver likes driving. Some people step on the gas pedal all the time. Some people leave their foot on and coast for a while. And then he says that there's a converse factor, if you're into physics, which is inertia. That the heavier you are, the longer you'll continue going once you're moving. The lighter you are, the quicker you'll stop. So he thinks Rabbi Neuwirth's whole discussion of heavy cars versus light cars is really... irrelevant. And probably the Har Tzvi is right. He says we don't know, so we have to be machmir.
Oh, he says we are machmir?
Yeah, he says you can't tell me that it won't increase, you can't tell me that it will increase. So he but the whole point is if there's no chola here. Meaning this Ramosha is saying he doesn't know what Isser is involved. So they're all arguing what Isser is involved. But Lomai says it's irrelevant because we're going to let the husband go because he's the advocate. Or we're going to let them go because otherwise the woman's going to freak out.
Who says that the Har Tzvi is chola shesh that she did the advocate?
Practically, we don't worry about that.
I don't know what the Har Tzvi would agree with that.
Right, so I'm not a quote, meaning we can't quote the Har Tzvi as authoritative on that point, but halacha l'maaseh, you know, that's irrelevant.
No, but this, yeah.
Meaning Ramosha's argument that it'll calm her down, and the advocate, Tzad, will allow us to be make a l'maaseh. But in this theoretical area, which Ramosha ventured into, so Rabbi Neuwirth thinks there's a difference between heavy cars and light cars, which could be relevant if a person wants to get on a bus, let's say, and on Shabbos for whatever reason, not because there's a chola involved. So would there be a shayla or no shayla?
That's the question.
Right. So Rabbi Neuwirth would say, well, if the bus is so heavy, he's going to be irrelevant. And Rabbi Bleich is pointing out it's hard to tell. But then Rabbi Neuwirth also makes another strange statement, which he says that this is only if you have to increase how many times you step on the gas pedal. If you're just increasing how long I leave my foot on the gas pedal, meaning the size of the flame, That he doesn't think is a shiloh. That's mutter.
You have to increase the amount. Say it again, the amount.
The times that I make a fire, not the size of the fire. So that's very strange, because that was the whole shiloh that we had. First of all, who said that the malacha of havar is focused on the fire? Maybe it's focused on the eating of the fuel. And then if I make a bigger fire, it eats more fuel, it would be more malacha. And B, who said that even if it is the fire, that big fires and small fires make no difference? That it's the same. The Hartzvi said he thinks that that's true. If it's dependent on the fire, a big fire and a small fire are all the same. But the Shmir Shabbos would obviously subscribe to that, but then he's already being poshet the machlokas that Havar is focused on the flame, which I think is questionable.
Is it true that a new fire is made every time you step in the gas?
I don't know. That's his assumption.
And I'm thinking during Malachos, but
yeah.
he like mentioned some crazy number, like every few seconds you're over this amount of Malachos, because there's always
new fire starting.
Fire starting.
Whether I step on the gas pedal or not.
I'm not sure about that. But he says, step on the gas pedal, it's always...
Yeah. All right, moving on to the bigger discussion within Havara, which is hot metal. Till now we've been discussing a classical fire, a wick with oil. What about if I heat up metal till it becomes red hot? So the Gemara says in Paraklal Gadol that if a person throws metal into a fire, into an oven, that he's chayv mishum mevashel. However, the Gemara Nivamis on the Avav says that the pasuk lo sevaru esh b'chol mos v'seichem b'yom haShabbos is going on, is relating to a beis din, which is telling them they're not allowed to give the misas beis din of sreifa on Shabbos. Lo sevaru esh b'chol mos v'seichem b'yom haShabbos means you're not allowed to give the misas beis din of sreifa. What does that involve? Heating up metal. And the Gemara says that that's Havara, lo sevaru esh, not Bishol. The Rambam holds that heating up metal, he writes in one place, that heating up metal is Havara, Mavir. The Rambam writes that heating up metal is Mavir. And the Ravid disagrees that it's Mevashel. So the Avnei Nezer says, he writes in the Tshuva, he thinks the Machlokas HaSugyas and the Machlokas between the Ram and the Ravid had a Paskin. The difficult point is, though, that the Rambam writes in another place that a person who heats up metal is Chayiv Mishum Bishol. So which is it? Is it Bishol or is it Mavir? So the Chazanish is sensitive to the language of the Rambam. The Rambam is more specific. When he says that Yachai Mishum Bishol, he says, because any time that I make a hard item soft, or a soft item hard, that's also Bishol. And here, when I heat up metal, the standard reason that a person would heat up metal is because he wants to form it into a different shape. So he said, if I make a guf kosher rach, that's also Bishol. So the Chazon Ish says he thinks it depends on your kavana. If your kavana is to shape something, to make it into a guf rach, then that's bishul. And if your kavana is letzarif, why would a person heat up metal to such degree that it become red hot? Because he wants it that was the way they purified metal. They would take iron ore, I'm not such a bucky in metal G, but they would take a rock with metal mixed in, heat it up, and then the metal would flow to the bottom, which is Lutzari, if that's to purify the metal. So if that's his Kavana, then it's Havara. And then there's a similar Tshuva, where he brings a raya to this biur, this explanation of the Rambam, because the Rambam, when he's discussing kiboy, kiboy was found in the Mishkan. We discussed havar was found in the Mishkan when they would light a fire underneath the pot of samamonim, of the dyes. Kiboy was done igniter, as a, what do you call that when something makes it light faster? As a
accelerator.
So what they would do is they would heat up wood, they would light the wood once, put it out, and then they had charred wood. Like if you have a candle and you light it once, it lights better the second time. So that was why kibbutz was done in the Mishkan, to allow it to light better the second time. It's called the pecham, the charred wood. So Gemara says in Parakira that according to Rabbi Yehuda, the Malacha She'ein, how's it go? No. Right. The Gemara says in Kira that the only time kibbutz, even for Yehuda, holds Malacha She'ein Tzricha L'Guf is Chayev, kibbutz Shal Mateches is mutter, is pater of a lasser. It's only asked me the Rabbanan. Again, let's say I do kibbutz. Let's say then I'm skipping stuff. Let's say I have something that I lit on fire. I want to put out a fire, and I don't have in mind for it to be an accelerant. So that would be Malacha She'ein Tzricha L'Guf. I'm putting out the fire, but I don't need the pecham. I don't need what the charred wood that's left over. That would be Malacha She'ein Tzricha L'Guf. So to have a fire on Shabbos, to put it out would be a malach shein tzricha l'gufa. So Rabbi Yehuda, who says malach shein tzricha l'gufa is chayev, would say every putting out of a fire is chayev, even if I don't need the pecham. But the Gemara says the putting out mateches for even for Rabbi Yehuda is pato avalasa. And Rashi there explains because the only time Rabbi Yehuda holds the malach shein tzricha l'gufa is chayev is if there is a case where it could be a malach hatzricha l'gufa. Normally, when you put out a fire, there's a pecham. I might not need it to malacha shein tzricha l'gufa, but if I wouldn't need it, I would be chayev. So Rabbi Yehuda holds your chayev even if I don't need it. But by metal, there's never a pecham. You have hot metal, I leave it over a campfire, then I pull it out. No pecham. So there's no instance of chiyuv, which is possible. So even there, even Rabbi Yehuda would say malacha shein tzricha l'gufa is pater. So the Rambam, even though he passes like Rabbi Yehuda, the Malach Shein Tzichu L'Gufa is Chayiv, says that if a person puts out a fire, Gachela Shamateches, hot metal, he's Potter, he's not Chayiv. But the Rambam adds that if it's Almanas L'Tzarev, to purify the metal, I think what he means is they would heat up the metal, and then in order to keep it in its state of purity, they would quickly pour water on it to cool it off. So the Ram says, if it's al manas l'tzarev, then you would be chayev. So the Magen Mishnah there is, 1 minute. If for the Rambam there's a case where Rabbi Yehuda could say you're chayev, why is this case different than every other kibbutz? Where there's a case you could be chayev, but if you don't want it, malacha shein tzricha l'gufa, but Rabbi Yehuda holds malacha shein tzricha l'gufa, it's chayev, so you're still chayev. So the Ram should also hold, since there's a case, an instance where you could be chayev, every case should be chayev for Rabbi Yehuda. So Magen Mishnah there formulates a rule, he thinks, within kibbutz, that kibbutz, or at least kibbutz by mateches, is only chayv if you have kavana with tzarev. Magen Mishnah says that if I have no kavana, that's not kibbutz. Assume it's local to mateches. Yeah. So the Abnei Nezer says, we see from kibbutz that kavana plays a central role. Presumably, we have the right to assume that by Havara also, Kavana would play a central role. And if I have Kavana to form something new, it's Bishul. And if I have Kavana Litzarev, it's Havara. For the Rambam. The Ravid says it's always Bishul. Shlomo Zalman, in the Minchas Shlomo, disagrees with the Chaz. That's the Chazanish's Pshat in the Rambam. Shlomo Zalman says he thinks that there's...
Set a riot for the
Chazanish's pshat. Oh, he says also. But for this pshat in the Rambam, from the Rambam by kibbutz, if Kavana plays a central role by kibbutz, it's logical to assume it should play a central role by Havana. Shlomo Zalman thinks that this whole Kavana pshat is a little odd. As he says, there's a difference in terms of what I do. He says, in order to be Havara, normally, you have to change the item. If I have burning wood, it changes from wood to ash. It involves some change of state. So he says, if I heat up metal just so it's malleable, but not red hot, there's no change of state. So that's why it's not Havara. So he says, if I only heat it up a little bit, that's Bishul. If I heat it up so much that it becomes red hot, why red hot? Because then it's a change of state. It becomes like I took wood that burned to ash. Here the metal turns into a glowing metal. That's a change of, not in our definitions of states and chemicals, but it's a significant change. Begufo, Sheldavar. Then that's Havara. And Bishul is when it's on a lower madrig of heat, that it's only malleable but not so hot, and that would be Bishul. That's what Shlomo Zalman says, the Rambam used the lashon kedei letzarfo. I heat it up having a mind to be mitzarf. So the Chazon Ish says, yeah, it depends on my kavana. Shlomo Zalman says, no, kedei letzarf is a shear of how hot. Whether I have a mind letzarf is irrelevant. It means that it's hot enough that if I wanted to do tziruf, if I wanted to purify it, I could have. How hot is that? Red hot. So an important distinction between this is the light bulb with the filaments, with hot metal that glows. So for the Chazon Ish, it's not almanas l'tzaref. So a glowing filament should be bishul, not havara. What's the difference? Then it's not fire. It's like chicken soup. For Shlomo Zalman, hot metal that glows is not bishul, it's havara. I don't have a mind that's hard. Doesn't make a difference. It became glowing, red hot. It changed begufo shel davar, so that's mavir. So a light, an electric light, would be a fire for Shlomo Zalman, not necessarily for the Chazon Ish. Then Shlomo Zalman argues further that even for the Ravid, who said that hot metal is bishul, not havara, he says, what's the logic of the Ravid? Because hot metal is not a fire in. It's generally not a fire in and of itself. It's not the source of the heat. How do I heat up metal? I put it in a campfire. I put it in another fire with tongs. Wait for it to get hot. Now I have hot metal. So the Ravid says, that's not the fire itself. How could that be Havara? Baruch Shlomo Zalman says, if the original fire would be the metal, the Hainu, a light bulb, where there is no fire A, which is giving heat to the metal, so then even for the Ravid, a light bulb would be Havara, would be a fire, an Ish. So Shlomo Zalman held that turning on a light bulb would be Havara. The Marsham is a funny tshuva. This is just, it's interesting, you know, to know about. The Marsham is a tshuva where he says turning on light bulbs, this is again at the dawn of this Shaila, that turning on light bulbs is not Havara. I think he said it, mutter, whatever. It's not havara, at least, because there was no such fire in the Mishkan. So at the time when this was a hot issue, Ritzi Pesach Frank printed an article in the journal. It doesn't appear in the Har Tzvi, in a journal called Kol Torah. That he said, well, he doesn't understand. Why do you need a fire that was in the Mishkan? A fire is a fire. All fires are presumably from the same category of fires. He thinks the whole argument is irrelevant. But it's an interesting, people quote that Marsham, that since this fire wasn't in the Mishkan, can't be usher on Shamas. Another ramification, other than being chayav just for Havara, is whether or not this is an Eish b'kolot harakua. Shlomo Zalman and the Reb Chaim Oz and Achi Ezer both say that since this is Havara, it's Eish. And you can make Havdalah on an electric light bulb that has a filament. Fluorescent light bulb we mentioned last time is not filament in an electric, in a fluorescent or a neon or LED light, LCD light or whatever. But if there's an incandescent bulb that has a filament, one can make a havdalah. Different people quote that Reb Chai, either Reb Chaim Brisker or Reb Chaim Moser, was mahader to make havdalah on a light bulb to show everyone that it is havara. What about for other areas of halacha? So there's a famous tshuva in the Beis Yitzchak, Rabbi Yitzchak Shmelkish, which says that also that by Neir Shabbos, so too, also there, electric lights would have the status of Havara, and one could use an electric light for Neir Shabbos, but not Neir Chanukah. So everybody, when Chanukah rolls around, everybody gives their own reasons why Neir Chanukah electric lights are no good. There's no Shem in there, you need to have the oil, like it was in the Mishkan, or you need to have a wick, whatever. all the reasons aren't that great. I think Rabbi Bleich has an article about this, Electric Lights for Hanukkah, where he says all the reasons aren't good, but he hasn't found anyone yet who said that it is good. But no one... Rabbi Shelter also said, if you have nothing else, you know, that's your best aid, so... Because all the reasons aren't good, but in print, he hasn't found anyone who said that. Rabbi Shlomo Zalman, though, makes the point. Huh? Right, we'll get to one second. However, by Havdalah, there's a halacha that ner mechusa, one is not allowed to make a bracha on if it's covered over. So if you have a frosted bulb, or sometimes most lights, unless it's like a decorative light, the filament is not always visible, sometimes frosted. So that would be that halacha in Shulchan Aruch, that ner mechusa, you can't make a bracha on for Havdalah. The Be'er Locha there has a shayla. What if there's zechuchas, clear glass? Is that called Ner Machusa or not? So I think he's machmir on that. That even clear glass would be called a Ner Machusa. So therefore, Shlomo Zalman, I think Rav Adya also quotes from their machmirim to take off their glasses for Avdoah. Because otherwise it's like a Ner Machusa, because they're only seeing the fire through the glass. But Rosh Hashanah says, but we're not noeg like that. Nobody takes off their glasses for Havdalah. So there were those who said, no, that's different. Ner Mechusa means it's a covering over the flame. This is a covering on my eye, not over the flame.
When you said there were sunglasses, that's
fine. Okay.
It's also
black. But the Bi'alacha is also machmir, so they say this distinction is no good, because the Bi'alacha is also machmir based on this chumra that you can't look at a Havdalah candle through a window. The window is not a covering on the flame. The window should be like glasses. And even so, he applies the chumra to the window. So Elamai, you see that we're not machmir for this Bi'er Halacha. The clear glass is not a problem. It's not called a ner mechusa. And you could, so many poskim felt you could light Shabbos candles or make a bracha on ner shel Havdalah, even though it's in covered by clear glass, as long as the filament is, it has a filament, A, it's not fluorescent, and it is visible through the glass. For Moshe, huh? I think that's the assumption. Yeah. I think so. Rav Shelter always mentions that it has to be visible, and I think it says also in Shmir Shabbos it can't be a frosted bulb. That are blue or something?
When you put it outside, you mean?
Yeah.
When you put it in the front?
Yeah, so it's a frosted bulb?
It's a box the whole thing.
Oh, so that should be like an animal.
Yeah,
but you light it. There's a mitzvah of the Havlaka, not of the...
It's
not a chusa. In Eretz Yisrael, they... Oh, I don't know. I don't know if that's Havlaka by Ner Chanukah. Interesting. I don't know. We need more... Simcha Binim Kwan, though, does quote, as Rabbi Hoffman was pointing out, quotes from Rabbi Moshe that he would not make a bracha either Ner Shabbos on electric lights or Ner Shel Havdalah on electric lights. Either because he held that maybe like the Chazon Ish or the Ravi that electric lights are Bishul, not Avara, or maybe because it was Ner Mechusa, it was Zechuchis, like the Bir Halacha. But from the poskim here, I've heard that would be something that is okay, to make a bracha on Ner Shel Shabbos or Ner Shel Havdalah, even though it's an electric light. As long as it's not frosted.
Well,
yeah.
What if it's not frosted, but it is colored?
I think the eager is if you could see the filament.
Okay. So
if
you can see something, you can know it's colored.
I have something, you know, sometimes frosted bulbs, I don't want to get into all the details, sometimes frosted bulbs, you could see the filament, like it, but you can't see it as clearly. I think probably it could be makel there too, but I haven't done research into that. So, an electric light, according to some poskim at least, is a fire, is havara. What about putting out an electric light? So Shlomo Zalman has an interesting argument. Shlomo Zalman claims, let's say I have a fire, let's go back to the original model of hot metal. I have a hot piece of metal that I'm holding with tongs over a campfire. Now I want to take it out of the campfire. So Shlomo Zalman says, that's not kiboy. I'm just not leaving it in the fire. I'm not actively doing anything to put it out. I just removed it from the thing that was making it red hot. So maybe there's no such maybe there is no kibbutz by hot metal. So, but then Rosh Hashanah says, the Rambam says there is kibbutz if I have a manas l'tzarev. So what does that mean? If I pour hot water, cold water onto the metal. So Shlomo Zalman thinks perhaps kibbutz by matachas is only if I pour cold water on it. If I just remove it from the heat source, that's not kibbutz. So electric lights are mutter to turn off then. So Shlomo Zalman says here he thinks perception is key. People, when they look at an electric light, view it as like a candle with fuel, not as a piece of metal over a campfire. And when I turn off the light, I'm just removing the metal. They view it as that I stop the flow of the fuel. And since it all happens, Abbas Achas, when I stop the fuel, the fire goes out. So that's treated as kibbutz, because that's the way it appears. We mentioned a similar idea, I forgot what we were discussing when it came up, that Rabbi Tendler printed an article in one of the Beis Yitzchaks that, I think he quoted from a Moshe, that you could turn off a gas stove on Shabbos or Yontif, because I'm not putting out the fire, I'm just stopping the flow of gas. Meila, the fire burns out, but that's not kibbutz. And Shechter disagreed that no, it happens right now. It all happens. The fire goes out the second I turn off the gas. So here it's based on perception. People perceive that as kibbutz, so that is.
What about on the pilot?
Kibbutz.
Would Shechter agree that that's okay?
What do you mean? You just lower
pilot? Yeah.
You had two flames, now I have one flame.
What?
Before I had two flames, now I have one flame.
No, it's not the. Why do you
have. I have the pilot and the stovetop. Now
no,
I just have the pilot.
It's not that you have two flames, it's just that the flame that's right below the oven is being extended, if you will, through the...
Yeah, but then it has a life of its own. If the pilot light would blow out, the one on the stove would continue.
It wouldn't continue.
It would.
No.
Once the gas is going...
Really?
Yeah, you don't need the pilot after that. The pilot is just like a starter.
Yeah, but it... One, really?
Yeah.
Okay. My impression is that once that is out, you can never really light
no,
the
No, I don't think so.
I think Marcia said that if you take out oil from the lamp...
How could Rabbi Tendler say that turning off the gas? So I think they would say, because there, that oil is reserved for this lamp. Like this, because the other classic example, again, this is larger than this discussion. Let's say I have a house is on fire. And no one's going to get hurt, no heavy, whatever. You don't have any of the heterium that I mentioned to put out. Something's burning. And it's about to catch to another piece of wood. And I run and pull that piece of wood away. Is that, that's mistopic, mishem, mishem, and air? So we would say generally say no, because that's not shy after that. Otherwise, you can't move anything away from a fire. It's only the oil that's reserved for that flame. But Rosh Hashanah does think that this far applies to cars. He thinks, in his understanding, this is quoted, this is in the Chelek Beis of the Mincha Shlomo, that the car, there's no gas going to the engine unless I put my foot on the pedal. So if I put my foot on the pedal, gas goes. If I take my foot off the pedal, no gas goes. So he says to turn off the car then, it's not kibbutz, because there's no fire if I don't have my foot on the gas. I don't think that this is an accurate description of. I was talking to Ray Wilk about it. Why do cars move as they? If you can, even if you know idling is also uses gas, so there must be some sort of fire there, irrespective of that. But Rosh Hashanah thinks that that would be this. He thought that in theory that would be this type of svar. Parenthetically, he was discussing there, a person drives to the hospital, a patient to the hospital, and then he gets to the hospital, what does he do with his car now? So Rabbi Neuwirth has an article in one of the journals, I think Moriah, all about these halachas of driving to the hospital. How do you drive there? You know, don't put on your turn signal, because then you just made another havara, all these little aids how to drive to the hospital. So one of his one of the things that he discusses is, what do you do once you get to the hospital? So he said he heard b'shem Chazon Ish that you could turn off the car. So there were some who wanted to say it's based on this idea of Reb Shlomo Zalman. Turning off the car is not kibbutz because you're stopping the flow of gas. That's not kibbutz.
Right,
right, so that's what other poskim, contemporary poskim, said. Chazon Ish wasn't based on that svar. Chazon Ish was based if you leave the car sitting there, someone else, some joyrider, will come to your car and crash into something and cause major life-threatening situations for other people. Remember Byron said that too? That's what Will told me also. I think that's the Psaka Makubal. That if you get to the hospital, In theory, you could turn off the car, but, and there's a big but, there's usually guards there. So you could always ask the guard to turn off the car. You don't necessarily have to do it yourself. But if there's, in theory, if there's no one else around, you can turn off the car. Also, you can continue. This the Pesukim also say you can continue. If you're blocking, let's say there's a circle driveway. I pull right in front of the emergency room and leave my car. Park it right there. So the next ambulance is going to come, and other people's lives are going to be in danger. And they're going to say, that Jew left the car in front of the emergency room. So you can move it ahead, Rabbi Neuwirth says, so you're not blocking the driveway. But once you're not blocking the driveway, you, in theory, you could turn off the car. If there's a Nachri around, there's the Nachri. But then you have to leave the car there. If they tow away the car, they tow away the car. He said you could ask the guard, you know, do something with the car, so you don't have to get into that situation. But avoiding being towed away or something like that, or ticketed, is not a reason to be able to move the car.
Why does the fact that the car is on make more of a sakana? Meaning, if you lock the door, then you can't get in. If you don't lock the door, you just turn on the car.
I don't think you can lock the door if the car is on. Can you lock all the doors from the outside if the keys are on?
Because of that, you can't lock the door.
Almost, I don't know. I don't think I asked that same question. I was forget about it. You're allowed to turn off the car. Is this a second?
If you close the door,
then
you turn off the lights in the car. So you also don't.
Right, so there's also the lights in the car. If you have lights in the car, when you turn off the car, it's also a key boy. The same key boy as that any electric light.
No, but meaning to turn off the car, most lights in the car, I think are going to. There's some. Yes, I don't know, but I don't think lights particularly go off. If you close all the doors and lock them, that's going to cause lights to go off.
Right. Oh, that's so interesting. So you'd be doing Havar. Not key boy. Right. Again, this would all be kibush dirabanan, because it's all malacha shein tzricha legufa. Malacha tzricha legufa of kibush is only if I need a pecham. I need there's some sort of positive toela, not just turning off a car. So even though turning off a car would be the shaila that we're discussing, that's mutter only because of a chashash takara, it's still only yasim in dirabanan, because the malacha shein tzricha legufa. What other common shiloh that has to do with putting out electric lights, which really harps on that issue, that it's only malach shein tzrich legufa, it's only awesome to rabbanon, is if you walk into a room, let's say you're supposed to sleep in that room and the light's on. Some troublesome kid turned down the light, or everyone forgot to turn off the light before Shabbos. So what do you do now? So Gemara says in Perek Rebalaza de Mila, that if you need a knife, zemel shel Mila, you can ask a nachri to bring it through a karmelis. Because it's a shvus, Amila Nachri is a shvus, Karmelis is a shvus, it's not a Rishus Harabim, and shvus to shvus is mutter b'makom mitzvah. So the Ramban and Tosfos there in Shabbos say that's specifically by Mila, because Mila is Doka Shabbos. Any other mitzvah, we don't say shvus to shvus is mutter b'makom mitzvah. But the Rambam and the Mordechai and other Rishonim disagree, and they say it's any mitzvah, shvus to shvus is permissible. And this is two opinions in Shulchan Aruch. But the Ramah and the Mishnah Berurah are Mekel. They say we're passing the Kuh on this Shiloh. The Shavuos is Mutter B'makom any mitzvah. However, the Prima Gadim there points out that these are it's only by Amir and Achri. You don't find in the Rishonim the discussion of Shavuos to Shavuos where one of the Shavuosim is not Amir and Achri. One of them is always Amir Ve'Nachri. So the Prima Gadim suggests perhaps one of them has to be Amir Ve'Nachri. One can give a whole lamed shabshat why that has a... I think Rav Ruhlgen is safer as a whole lamed shabshat why that should be so. That one has to dafka be Amir Ve'Nachri. Rav Avadi Yosef and his sefer Levi Aschein on Shulchan Aruch, you know, has his whole laundry list of poskim who disagree with the Prima Gadim. That it could be any two shvusim. So how do we paskin in the Shiloh? So Shechter, I think, writes in the Sefer Bikvei Atzon that we're Mekel on the Shiloh. Any two Shvusim. Doesn't have to be Amir Ve'Nachri. So Shechter told me that a few times that if you have, let's say, a light on in a room where someone needs to go to sleep, so it's a mitzvah of Onik Shabbos, so you could turn off the light Kalachar Yad. Why? With your foot or something. Why? Because it's Moach Hashem Tzrich Legufa, putting out a light, and you're doing a Kalachar Yad. The shavuos, is mutter b'makom mitzvah. Or let's say your alarm is going off. Someone tripped the alarm. They opened the window, didn't realize the alarm system was on. So we said electricity we generally treat like an issa midrabanan. So to turn off the light would be asur midrabanan. So if you turn off the light with the, you know, if you turn off the alarm with your nose or with, you know, you figure out a different way to turn off the alarm. And nobody, you can't function when the alarm is going off. It's like it's deafening for you and everybody else around you. So then that's that'll be mutter shvus to shvus b'makom mitzvah. If you do something that's clearly kolachar yad, that's not the toelus is the that's called kolachar yad. Yeah.
Wait, you said with
turning off the light. Yeah, I say yeah. Turn it off with my ear. That's kolachar yad.
What if you kept on the light? You know, so you have a guest sleeping in the living room.
No, I think if you have another bedroom, that's you have no hazard to do this. If I have seven bedrooms in my house, I'll.
Well, you know, in these apartments, you have one room with a bed in it, and then someone's sleeping on the couch in the living room, and that's also where they ate dinner. So you did keep on the light before Shabbos.
You can't do this with Chachila.
This is not.
Shvus to Shvus is only Munter.
It's only, okay.
Yeah, I think if you have. You set a timer. Rabbi Willig thought not so. When I spoke to him this morning, he thought no, you can't do that. He thinks that we pass like the Prima Gadim, maybe because he has a hope shot in it and it's safer. But he thinks that we pass like the Prima Gadim, that it's only if one of the Shvutim is Amir or Anachri. So you'd have to get Anachri to come and turn off the light. Huh? Oh, put the cover over.
What about those lights that you lower the strength of the light as opposed to turn it off entirely?
A dimmer.
Right.
We spoke about that last time. That might depend on what the malach of avar is, about the fire, is about the fuel. That was a shayla at the end of last time. One last shayla that I wanted to discuss, which I guess is an amalgamation of all of these shaylas, is using electricity in Eretz Yisrael. It's a big issue, I guess, in some communities. And in Chutz Laaretz, it has not become such a big issue, but in theory it could have been a big issue. What's the issue of using electricity on Shabbos is, because the Mishnah says in Shabbos, in Parakira, that if a Jew heats up water on Shabbos, it's asur b'rechitza. He's not allowed to wash in the water. More familiar with it, let's say I cook on Shabbos, then the food becomes asur. Not only that, the Mishnah says it's also asur b'hanah. If it's a hanah that I could not have derived before the malacha, and the malacha created, and now a new avenue of hana, I cannot benefit from that on Shabbos. And if a Jew did it, Jew A did it, Jew B cannot be nana from that malacha on Shabbos either. But not only if a Jew does a malacha, the Mishnah says also on Shabbos that a nachri shehid the kner b'shvil Yisrael, it's also for the Yisrael to be nana from that ner. There is a concept of ner echad ner lemea, if this is quoted in Shulchan Aruch also, that if a non-Jew lights a light for himself, he wants to read in the room. So he turns on the light. My maid wants to read in the room, so she turns on the light. Now I want to read in the room. So ner echad ner lemea, she turns on the light for herself, I can benefit from the light as well. But if she sees me sitting in the room reading, and it's getting dark, and she turns on the light to do me a taiva, I can no longer benefit from that light. If I could read anyway, I can continue reading. But if I couldn't read before, I can't continue reading. I can't read now. What if a nachri, though, does a malacha for Jews and non-Jews? Works in the electrical plant. And he's doing malachas on Shabbos in order to the electrical plant keeps producing electricity. And it's for Jews and non-Jews. He knows that there are Jews in New York. He's not an Amoritz. So is that us or a mutter? For Jews and non-Jews. So Shulchan Aruch says you go based on Rov. If Rov are non-Jews, which in Chutz Laaretz they are, New Square has its own generator, but, you know, power plant, but I don't think they do. So then Rov are non-Jews, Miyut are Jews. But the Mishnah Berurah quotes in the Magen Avraham that this is only if he doesn't know that, it's only if it Miyut only helps if it's not a Miyut Hayadua. People don't know that there are Jews there. If the guy knows there are Jews, and when he does the malacha, it benefits for the Jews as well, then miyut doesn't help you. The reason we go basa rov is because we assume he's not noticing the miyut. Well, the Bir Halacha quotes with Eliyahu Rabbah and the Magen Avraham who the Bir Halacha quotes with Eliyahu Rabbah disagrees with this Magen Avraham. Even if they know about it, it's still okay. So assuming like that, Eliyahu Rabbah, Rav Moshe has a tshuva about using the electricity in America, where he says that we go... I think he says like this. We go based on Rov, so it should be permissible. The Magen Avraham says if they know about the Miut, then it's Aser. So Rav Moshe, I think, has the original Kiddush, that that's only if he could distinguish between what he's doing for the Miut and what he's doing for the Rov. If the same action works for the Rov that works for the Miut, then even the Magen Avraham would agree that even though he's aware of the Miut, we'd go based on Rov. Meaning he can't push a button and say, I only want this to be for the Goyish neighborhoods, not for the Jewish houses. It's the same button that he's pushing, or the same malacha that he's doing in the electrical plant. So since you can't distinguish one from the other, Ramosha. So it's not a problem. So that's electricity in America. What about in Eretz Yisrael? Rov are Jews. So Rabbi Yisrael Rosen has an interesting article, I think in one of the journals there, I think Morasha, one of the other journals, is on the Mar Makomos, Israeli journal, where he says that they always have been saying, for he's the head of Tzomet, the Machongo technology in Elon Shul. So he says, they've been saying for years that it all happens automatically. And there's no Jew doing a malacha in the power plants on Shabbos. But he says, it's obviously not true, because let's say I turn on a light that wasn't on before. So now it needs to pump more energy. So he says, he doesn't think that that happens automatically. Someone has to recognize that and then decide, okay, we need to move up one notch or whatever and pump more energy into the system or whatever. I mean, I'm an artist as to how these things work. I'm just going based on what Rosen says. So he says he thinks if there's a change, then of course that involves the malacha. So he says he's willing to... Even if we take them at their word, that only works for things that there was before there were any changes. Once there are changes, he doesn't think that that could possibly be true, that it could adjust the changes on its own. So based on this line of thinking, there are poskim who say there's a difference between using electricity Friday night and using electricity Shabbos morning. The Har Tzvi said you could use electricity Friday night because all that electricity was made before Shabbos. I don't necessarily understand that, but... It could be what he meant was that we assume Friday night, whatever lights were on, continue to be on. Meaning people turn off their lights at night and we might turn them back on in the morning. And some poskim say that that's what we're exactly, that if I had a light on from before Shabbos, I can continue to leave it on. It would be us, though, in Eretz Yisrael, to use a Shabbos clock to turn on a light, because that new electricity that's pumping into the light Shabbos morning is presumably because someone made a change in the electrical plant. I don't know. Interesting stories. But you hear about these things, so that's where it comes from. What's generally relied upon is what Rabbi Gorin printed an article in an army journal called Machanaim. I think he was the originator of this svara, and Shlomo Zalman also has it, Chashlomo, that since we need the electrical plants to continue to pump energy on Shabbos for the hospitals, which is Bikuach Nefesh, so they can continue to pump energy even for the Jewish houses. Why? They're adding for me. So that's the same svar as Ramosha, but even more so. The same svar as Ramosha, that it's only us, sir, but he says it's not even by Miyad. He says it's even by the Rove. As long as I have a heter to pump the energy, either for Goyim or for, a hospital, meaning it's a Goy to a Goy, or a Jew to a hospital, so then, even though I'm adding for everybody else, since I can't say I only want to press the buttons for the hospital, not for the other Jewish houses, you can't do that. So since you can't distinguish between the heter part and the usher part, there's no iser to be marbe. That's basically what the Gemara says. The Gemara says if I shecht an animal for a chola on Shabbos, healthy people can eat from the animal. Because e eshel kezayis basa below shechita. In order to get that kezayis, I have to shech the whole animal. So Sotu Shlomo Zalman says e eshel energy for the hospitals without for the whole Medina. So everybody could benefit from the electricity in such a case. So even though Ramosha disagreed with that Svara, Ramosha argues on this point. Ramosha says he thinks that why don't they have to make generators in Shari Tzedek? They should make generators in every hospital and allow those to run on Shabbos, and they don't have to use the general electricity. And we'll cut off the general electricity for the rest of the Jewish neighborhoods. Only the hospitals will have electricity on Shabbos. So Shlomo Zalman says, first of all, what if I'm caring for a patient in the house? How do you know? There are patients elsewhere. And he says, it's not like the olden days that everybody, all sick patients went to the hospital. There's a lot of home care.
And other things like the army, you could also argue, or institutions.
Okay, but they could localize that. Ramosha wants to say, localize those. Take them off the main grid. And Rav Shlomo Zalman has his overarching svara, which goes beyond the Pale discussion, which is that even though I have to minimize prohibitions, let's say I'm dealing with a chola and Shabbos, or hospitals, I have to minimize prohibitions as much as possible. That's what Moshe is saying. Put a generator in the hospital. Shlomo Zalman holds that's only if all things are equal. He says, let's say I have, I'm not mechuyev to be motzi mamon, or to do something extra to prevent an iser. Let's say I have, when is there an idea that you have to minimize prohibitions if I have two ways to get to the hospital? I could walk or I could drive. So you're not allowed to drive, you could walk. But let's say I have two ways of getting to the hospital. I could wake up my friend who's sleeping or drive myself. Or I could wake up a nachri who's sleeping in the middle of 2 in the morning. I can knock on his door. He could drive me or I could drive myself. So Shlomo Zalman says you're not allowed to wake him up, because that's not all things being equal. Or he says, let's say a chola needs hot water on Shabbos. And I'm about to take my sip of my hot water with the lemon that I like. And the chola says he's chaloshing for that. So I'm not mechuyev, he says, to give him my cup of water. He can heat up water beheter, we'll heat up water for him. That's not all things being equal. I'm not mechuyev to give something up of mine so that the chola can do something with lesser prohibitions. So he says, we're not mechuyev to pay for generators in the hospitals, because that's not all things being equal. Anyways, I think this heter is a good heter that because of the hospitals. But even Rav Shlomo Zalman, and this is the Chazon Ish says this in his sefer, that he says even Chazon Ish deals with it, cryptically. Says, but even if electricity, you could find a way to be matir using the electricity. The Chazon Ish says, but since the Jews in the electrical plant are not doing it because they know the hospitals are there, they're doing it because they're not Shomer Shabbos. So he says every time we use the electricity on Shabbos, we're being machzik, we're giving them chizuk. And we're desensitizing ourselves to Chilul Shabbos. He says, if we would really be sensitive to Chilul Shabbos, how could we continue to use electricity when we know there are Mechalei Shabbos who are doing it? The Chazon Ish says that.
What are the followers of the Chazon Ish doing?
Huh?
What are people who follow?
They don't use electricity on Shabbos. They have their own, in Bnei Brak, they have their own generators.
Gordon himself.
Oh, really?
What about
Shlomo Zalman says he thinks that it's a little bit that if we would make a machor, he says we would accomplish, we would stop it, but so he says it's not great.
What does everybody say about that?
I don't know. Anyway, okay,
in Meshur, mostly have their own generators in Meshur.
I don't know. I think it's only Chazon Ish next. I think in Bnei Brak it's a chumra. Anyway, I just wanted to say it was a real pleasure learning with all of you. A unique privilege. And I hope you gained a lot. I gained a lot from it. And for those of you I didn't know before, it was nice getting to know you pretty well. I hope we please keep up the relationship. I'll try too. But I wish you had stuff and everything else.
Thank you, sure.
Huh?